All right, we're here with Coach Mike Franklin. Coach, you know, it is such an honor to have you here with us. And you know, as I mentioned earlier, it's kind of a bittersweet moment for both of us because I'm looking forward to the things and I'm excited about the things the Lord's going to do in your life and in store for you. But I'm sad that I'm not going to be looking down from on top of that Catoctin dugout and see you standing there at third base.
Thanks, Mike. It's going to take some getting used to, but thank you for all the times that you've created so much buzz in our community. I'll never forget the moments that you share with us in our community, the state championship that you were so gracious enough to drive all the way down there for, and just all the buzz that you built in our program. I'm grateful for you.
Oh, my goodness. I remember that five-game run in the playoffs where you were on the road, and I put 530 miles on the radio wagon, and I was like, I mean, remember, we went all the way from Patterson Mill to Deep Creek Lake in 1 week.
And then down to Southern Maryland. I was told later that it was an all-time state record for sports, the most mileage for any sport in a postseason. So we can take that with us, Mike.
That's great. That's great. So, Coach, take us back in the time machine. Where did you grow up? What area?
Yeah, I grew up in the Monrovia area, in the Green Valley area. Went to Ligonier High School, went to college at Salisbury University, and then I was blessed enough to land in Thurmont.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you play Little League ball?
I did, yeah. I played in the Araby organization. A guy named Roy Taylor was the first coach I had, and he would later create the Araby Network, and he blessed a lot of kids. Really did. Good man.
What position did you play?
Usually I was some type of infielder, but I also played outfield pitch, so I did it all.
A little bit of everything, yeah.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah. Did you want to grow up to be a teacher and a coach? Was this something you thought about when you were young?
You know, I've always loved sports. Whatever season it was always my favorite. Football, basketball, baseball. And I wish I could have did more than three sports, honestly. but that said... I got done at Ligonier High School. We won a football state championship. We went to the finals and lost in baseball, and I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my life. FCC had offered me a scholarship to play baseball. I went to FCC while I was there. They had a course designed to provoke your mind as to what you can, you know, do with the rest of your life, what you can major in.
Mm-hmm.
It was a career-based course. And I kept answering these aptitude questions, and they all came back phys ed teacher / you know, some type of sports coach. So then I went to Salisbury, and that was my major, and here I am.
The old Myers-Briggs personality test. I remember that one well.
Yes, sir.
Hey, when did you realize that you were a pretty good teacher?
Well, I don't know that I ever realized I was a pretty good teacher.
Well, you got a Maryland State Award for it. You must have done something right.
Oh, you're too kind. You know, I was. Everybody's blessed of you know, nothing grows unless you have the right environment, right, Mike?
Yes.
You know, for our practices, we have to have a great practice environment for kids to grow. For teaching and coaching, it's the same thing. I was blessed from day one. I mean, it wasn't about me. I was blessed. I showed up to that high school not knowing anything. And the Lord put Doug Williams, you know, and Paul Dumars and Tom Schoed in my life. And to watch those guys every day, to have a guy like Doug Williams influence your career. I shared an office with that man for 25 years, and the stuff he taught me, I could never learn in a classroom. He taught me how to treat people. You know, he taught me how to have a relationship with kids, and that's what really matters. And no one remembers your trophies and your wins and losses, and again the lessons that Doug taught me. To have a mentor like that in my life for 25 years, I mean I was blessed.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I know exactly what you mean, because I was blessed to go to his Bible study at Mountain Gate for about 5 or 6 years, and I got a little bit of that myself.
Yeah, he's got a broad net of human beings he has shaped, you know that, and you know, the Doug Williams coaching tree, you know, lives on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, earlier this week, we named Brady Ridenour our head football coach, right?
Right.
Another Doug Williams-based disciple. And so, you know, he just keeps multiplying, you know, and that's a good thing. When coaches care more about kids than they do about wins, like Doug teaches, that's a victory for everybody.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So tell me, Mike, what is your philosophy for teaching? What's your style?
Yeah, you know, informal and kids first. Kids first. You know, we can figure out, with coaching too, like when I'm trying to hire an assistant coach, or we're looking for coaches, you know, I don't need the guy that's got all the answers. You know, that's great, but what we need is someone who's loyal and someone who's coachable. They're those two things. You can teach them everything else, right? And so I want a kid-based approach. I want someone who's going to put kids first. And the rest of it, again, we can learn the X's and O's to any sport. We can learn how to teach. But we can't learn how to love kids. And if you don't love kids, then you're in the wrong business. That's what teaching and coaching is all about. We're shaping young lives. And so, to me, you know, the litmus test for any good coach or teacher is on that last day of school or on that last day of your season, if you're a coach, you know, how many kids are giving that person a hug? How many, you know, are embraced, maybe have tears running down their cheeks, and they're going to miss what they have done, that journey of being that person's teacher or being that person's coach. When I see kids do that with a coach or a teacher, it lets me know that coach or teacher gets it. You know, they really get it.
That's just wonderful. How marvelous. What a gift. What a blessing. What a blessing to be able to do this. So, okay, let's head back to baseball again. Tell me, who was your all-time favorite baseball player?
Oh, tough question.
I know.
Really tough question. you know, I was kind of a dirtball, you know, player. I was a grinder. I liked the guys that it didn't come natural for them, because I was that kid that had to work harder than everybody else just to be okay. And so, you know, I remember there was a guy named Lenny Dykstra. I don't know if you remember Lenny.
But, of course.
You know, he was a grind. He always had a dirty jersey, dirty pants, and he was always diving on the ground for balls and grinding out at bats to deep counts. And so if I had to pick one, I would probably say Lenny Dykstra for that, you know. I love watching guys like Ken Griffey Jr., who just had, you know, his picturesque, gorgeous swing.
Natural talent, yes.
But anybody that was a grinder, I felt like I could relate to.
Mm-hmm. So, Coach, how did you end up coaching at Catoctin and living over in Middletown? And coming from Moravia?
Well, you know what a story. So I finish up in Salisbury. I coach another year in Salisbury. I'm looking for a job at Frederick County Public Schools. I decide I want to be a teacher, right? So I back then it was so hard to get a teaching job. Not like now. I mean, it was really, really hard. And so in biz ed, it was almost impossible. There were no openings that year. There was a guy who took 3 days, who came to work 3 days at TJ, and then took the rest of the year off with sick leave, and so I was hired as a long-term sub for the entire year while I was there teaching. That was back when TJ High School, that was in 95, 96.
Right.
That's when the high school and middle school were all together as one, grade 6 through 12. So I didn't know it then, you know, but I wasn't getting paid much. I was getting paid sub pay, not teacher pay. But it was one of the greatest things the Lord ever did for me because, you know, although I wasn't making a ton of money, and I would end up coaching at Frederick High School for free. I went up to a guy named Phil Rhodes, the longtime Frederick coach.
I remember him, yes.
I just like, yeah, coach, I just like to volunteer and help you out any way I can and learn from you. And he took me under his wing. We won the regional championship for the first time in many years, went to the state championship, and I mean, we lost, but I learned a lot there. And then back in the teaching world, you know, going to TJ every day, I was surrounded by greatness, and I didn't know it was going to play out like that, but, you know, there was a Mount Rushmore of amazing Frederick County coaches in my office every day. I had Chuck Nichols, the legendary soccer coach with the best communication skills ever. I had Ben Wright, one of the best football coaches I've ever been around, and disciplinarians, and he taught me that. Tom Dickman, I think he leads the state of Maryland in all-time high school basketball wins, and when you watch Tom's practices, they were systematic and amazing, and I was, you know, soaking it all up like a sponge. So, yeah, the Lord had a purpose for all that, and I was grateful for the way that he introduced me into teaching and coaching.
Yeah. I think you just named the Frederick County Hall of Fame for coaches there. What a list.
All those guys, you're right, would go in and be Hall of Fame members. I mean, how blessed was I?
Isn't that something? So, okay, you've been a father and a coach and a mentor and a leader and to so many. Can you think of anyone who has been all of those things to you? Who's been your coach on and off the field?
Yeah, I'd have to say it's been my mom and, and my father. You know, my father was a chief in the Navy. He taught me everything I know about leadership. You know, he was on submarines, aircraft carriers, and destroyers, and everything I ever knew about leadership, my dad taught me that. And then how to relate to people, love people, that came from my mom. And so, you know, I try to take the best of both of them and put it into who I am today as a coach. You know, and of course, then and being influenced by 25 years by Doug Williams, I didn't have a chance but to not be a leader and not try to influence lives every day, because that's what those people were all about.
Sure, sure.
You coached flag football recently. Have you ever coached other sports?
When I came to Catoctin, so I leave TJ after 1 year. The long-term sub was up, and a job came available. It was a halftime phys ed position and a halftime biology position at Catoctin High School.
Hmm.
So I go up there for the interview. It was a 2-hour and 15-minute interview for part-time science and part-time PE. I ended up getting the job, and so for the first 10 years, I coached football and baseball at Catoctin High School. Loved it. I was a JV football coach, ninth grade football coach, because we had it back then, then
okay.
JV football coach. And then I would come up and be an assistant with Doug at varsity towards the end of my career. I had a young man as my JV coach that was my assistant right out of West Virginia by the name of Kurt Stein. So Kurt was my assistant coach.
No way.
We coached football together, JV, and we were pretty darn good, by the way, for several years. And so my young assistant, I knew it was about time for me to tap out. I was also doing fall baseball, traveling up and down the East Coast. So, and I was about to have a family. So I knew my time as a football coach was running out, and I needed to focus on a few other things. So the last year I was coach, I said to Kurt Stein, I said, Kurt, let's flip this around. I'll be your assistant. You be the head coach. Let's get you ready to do what you do and be a head coach. Because it was pretty evident to me that Kurt was going to be an amazing head coach someday. He was
wow.
very, very young, but he checked every box that he was going to be a great coach. And the time Kurt and I spent together were amazing. Kurt would end up, you know, going and opening Oakdale High School and starting their football program, and has never looked back. He's built a powerhouse there, and he has taken a lot of what he learned at Catoctin High School and from Doug Williams, and of course made it, you know, made his own moves and shaped his program his way. But he's an outstanding coach, and so that's how that went.
Ah, what a great story. What a great story. What is it about the game of baseball that you love the most, Coach?
You know, anytime I watch a young man grind and improve and get better and then see that reward, that base hit, that well-pitched game, you know, that big play in the seventh inning that saved the game, and that kid's shoulders are a little bit taller, you know, that kid's smile is from his ear to his ear, and his self-esteem is really, really high. That makes me feel great. I mean, that's why we get out of bed in the morning. And I enjoy the process. Like, I love the grind. I love getting the kids in the weight room. I love, you know, training the kids' shoulders and then, you know, getting a radar gun out and showing a kid that he just picked up 4 or 5 miles an hour in the off season and watching, you know, how that impacts his self-confidence. But, you know, we can't always control wins and losses, and that's a tough way to judge success, right?
Yeah.
An unfair way. But we can judge, you know, the magnitude of how much these kids are improving on a daily basis. And that, to me, again, when my feet hit the ground in the morning and I go to teach phys ed or coach kids in any sport, that's why I do it. You know, mm-hmm. that's why I do it.
If you could have your secret dream coaching job, what would it be?
Oh, man, you're asking some really tough questions.
That's what I do. This is my job.
And you're good at it. You know, if you love coaching and you watch these coaches who are true grinders who love coaching, like, I don't know that I love coaching talented kids any more than I love coaching, you know, youth level kids. Like you said, I coach my son's travel league team. We go up and down the mid-Atlantic area, and I have the same amount of joy coaching them as I do, you know, coaching boys varsity football, JV football, varsity baseball, girls flag football. Like, in all of those sports when I coach, it's the same thing. You love these kids. You try to help them get better, and you're all in. It's so rewarding, you know. Where I'm at doesn't really change that. Kids are kids, and they're ultimately really, really good. They all want to be coached, and it's just fun to do that.
That's a great answer. Okay, so who's the baseball team to watch out for in Maryland this year in Frederick County?
Oh, you know, I'm biased, you know. So I'm always gonna say the Cougars. And the Cougars should be pretty good. The other teams, you know, I think you're going to look at Middletown, they're going to be tough again. I think you're going to the defending state champions. They're well coached by a great guy over there named Andy Baker. I think you look at Urbana with Mike Fraunfelder. Mike always puts out a great product. They're going to be really, really tough, and they have a lot of talent. So those will be the guys. But,
okay.
You know, in our area, in any given year, we're winning two of the four state championships.
Isn't that something?
Three
yep.
of the mm-hmm. four. Like, mm-hmm. this is a hotbed for baseball in the state of Maryland. Mm. You know, and you look at where our kids are going at the collegiate level. I mean, we got D1 pitchers all over the place having a lot of success. I mean, anybody can have a chance. This is a hotbed.
Where will you be on the first game, Saturday, March the 22nd, when the Cougars play at Liberty? Where are you going to be? Have you thought about that? Have you thought?
I have. And you know, one of the things I've decided is I love Catoctin High School. I mean, I really love Catoctin High School.
We know.
A huge part of my life. It's who I am, and it's in my blood. Knowing that and saying that, you know, whoever the next coaches of Catoctin's program, I want them to have the right to have a clean slate and do things their way. I don't want them to think that the old coach looking over their shoulder and you know.
I kind of knew you'd say that, but I wanted to know if you thought about what you were going to do are you going to try to get yourself preoccupied with something else? Are you going to check the score? How are you going to feel?
I'm going to be down in North Carolina, hopefully watching my daughter at one of her track.
Okay. All right. That's good diversion.
Yeah. That's where I'll be. And I will be wondering, you know,
are you going to check the score? You're going to check the score?
I'll check in with the coaching staff.
All right. Okay. Good. Good. I knew I had to pull that one out of you. So, okay. Look, let's shift gears again. Tell us about your faith. When and how did you become a follower of Jesus?
Oh, my goodness. That's the best question you've asked so far, and you've asked some great ones. My mom was Catholic, so I was, you know, from the time I was born, my faith was very strong, and taught to me by my mother. You know, we went to church every Sunday, and learning God's word had an impact on me. Then I came to Catoctin. Again, I met Doug Williams, and Doug could have cared less about my coaching ability or teaching ability. But the one thing, I don't think a day ever went by where Doug Williams didn't read a piece of scripture to me first thing in the morning at 6 o'clock in our PE office at Catoctin High School. And then I would ask questions, and so it started to get to a deeper level. You know, after school, he would take kids who would volunteer and want it. He would take them to plays and things that would change their lives. There was a play called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames, and I remember we would take a field trip, go see these plays, and talk about your faith and where it all leads. And Doug, you know, brought so many people to Jesus, and I remember thinking, I want to be like Doug. You know, I want to serve the Lord at a deeper capacity. So it was always in me, but once I came to Catoctin, it got stronger, much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I went to many of those Bible studies that you went to, that you spoke of earlier, at Mountain Gate Restaurant.
Yep, said 6 in the morning.
They were definitely early,
right. Yeah, well, the food was good. All right, it's Jesus prayer request time. A lot of people see it as a wish machine scene, but sometimes we forget about relationship and focus on our own need. When you spend your quiet time with Jesus, what do you ask for?
It depends on the day, you know. Some days I need strength. You know, other days I need wisdom. Other days I need someone to serve, you know, and the Lord will take me in a direction. Last week I took my son, again, he's a travel team, a 13U team, and I'm an assistant. Our head coach is a wonderful Christian man, and we decided we were going to go down to the homeless shelter in Frederick and serve that population.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids firsthand got to serve, you know, the homeless population. We made bags of goodies, bags of hygiene products, bags of food, and we just handed them out. The kids got to see what it felt like to serve God and do as the Bible commands us.
Mm-hmm.
That was big, you know, and so, yeah, it depends on the day. The Lord, you know, the Lord's got a purpose. And I know you know this. The Lord's got a purpose for each and every one of us. And that purpose may be different today than tomorrow, but there's a purpose, and we need to listen. And I, you know, sometimes I need to do a great job, a better job of listening. Lord, take my heart where you need it.
Mm.
You know, Lord, take me where you want me.
Mm.
I'm yours.
That's funny. A man that I respect deeply said something to me recently. He said, he said in my prayer time I should ask three questions. Show me, tell me, and send me.
Love that.
I love it,
love
too.
Love that. Love it.
All right, so here's a family question. What's with this Kaylee Haley thing? Is there some kind of, like, legacy naming formula in your family?
No, it just worked out that way. Each one was an individual decision. Okay. No magic. No.
Well, I was looking at the names, and I'm like, man, there's something going on here. There must be. Tell us a little bit about Kaylee and Kathan and Haley. What kind of kids are they?
Yeah. You know, wonderful kids. Kaylee, my daughter Kaylee, is a freshman at University of North Carolina, Wilmington. She got a scholarship to throw the javelin down there. My daughter Haley is at Arizona State. She's studying to be a speech pathologist. As you mentioned earlier in the show, I got to coach them, and it was really weird coaching in another school. I don't ever want to do it again.
Yeah.
But I, you know, the head coach was a really, really good friend of mine, and asked me 15 times, and I said no every time. But the last time I gave in, and I got an opportunity to coach my two daughters a senior year. We won the championship down there in Baltimore at the stadium, and that was an unbelievable experience. I loved it and treasure it. And now, you know, my son, Kathan, I get to coach him. You know, we're one of the top-ranked teams in the Mid-Atlantic area. We go up and down the coast playing the, you know, best teams from multiple states, and now I get to enjoy spending, you know, that bonding time with him. And, you know, he's like the other two. He's a worker and loves sports, and it's a great bonding experience.
Yeah, oh, that's great. I know I coached my daughter's softball team in middle school and high school, and those memories are just irreplaceable.
They are, you know, and we don't get that time back. And once they graduate, you know, I'm not dumb. I realize that time's gonna disappear and lessen for the rest of my life. So, yeah, there's a premium on it, isn't there, Mike? There's a premium on that time with our kids.
I just looked in the drawer the other day, and I saw that softball that they all signed for Coach Betteridge, and that was like 1985, if I'm dating myself here. But boy, you talk about treasured possessions. I'm sure you've got a lot of those.
Yeah, amen. That's what we'll remember. The trophies and the state championships and the rings. I'll never wear those rings in public. That's embarrassing. The trophies, they collect dust, and no one cares. But that, you know, spending time with those kids, the lessons that we're able to share with the, you know, from the Lord to them, that's the stuff we'll treasure and remember. Those are our trophies.
So are you going to continue to teach at Catoctin? You're going to stay, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I love it. Yeah, I mean, my decision to step down, it was a really hard one, Mike.
I'll bet.
It's been my life's work, and I love it. And it's going to be hard not to do it. But my dad passed away last year.
Yeah.
You know, my mom is very, very important to me, as are my children. So, you know, you can't be two places at once. In the last 2 years, I've tried. You know, my dad's health was slowly declining. He had some dementia issues, and it was very, very hard. A lot of nights where you don't get a whole lot of sleep, and you need to help everybody. And so it wasn't sustainable anymore. And so I knew I had to make a decision. I put it off probably 2 years later than I should. But I realized recently that I knew it had to be.
You're making the right choice. I can tell you from experience. I've lost both my parents, and I know there's no doubt in my mind with the kids at the age that they're at right now for you and your mom. But I know how tough it's going to be for you because, you know, I coached football up at Fairfield for the last couple, 6-7 years, and I miss it terribly. Every time I go in that broadcast press box, I want to jump out there on the field.
Yeah. I mean, so, we don't love it any less because we stopped, you know.
Okay, my last question, and we'll close, and this is the toughest question of all. How are we going to get you in the broadcast booth?
I'll tell you what, you just send me an invitation, and I'll be there. Now, again, this year, I better step out of the way. And let
no, I get that, yeah.
Do things their way, but I'd love to, Mike. That's fun. And, you know, what a great job watching, you know, sports and talking about it. And it's probably a whole lot easier than coaching because, you know, I'll have all the right answers when I'm sitting on the sideline.
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody asked me a couple years back, did you ever take any training for doing this broadcast? I said, no, I never had any training. And then I went, oh, wait, yeah, I did. And he's like, what? And I said, 30 years in the basement with my brother and my father watching sports. It's just a couple of guys having fun watching a game.
Amen. Mm. Amen.
Well, Mike, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it. God bless you. And, you know, we'll see you soon. We'll catch up with you and we'll talk some more. I'm really honored to be able to talk to you about this and get your final thoughts on this. And you know, of course, we just keep each other in our prayers and as we move through this process, and especially praying for you for peace for the decisions you've made.
Oh, I appreciate that, Mike. I appreciate that. Thank you for, again, everything you did for our program, our school, our community, and me. I can't thank you enough. I'm grateful. The Lord has blessed me with your presence.